WBEN, Buffalo, New York.
Freeman and Jerry Alters. Linda, getting ready to open last week in Las Vegas. If she doesn't hurry, she's not going to make it. So come on, honey, you open the show and then you can go.
Oh,
and we wish you a bon voyage.
Thank you very much.
Linda Bennett.
Gonna build a mountain from a little hill. Gonna build a mountain, at least I hope I will. I'm gonna build a mountain, I'm gonna build it high. I don't know how I'm gonna do it, I only know I'm gonna try. Gonna build a daydream from a little hope. Gonna build a daydream right up that mountain slope. Build a daydream, I'm gonna see it through. I'm gonna build a mountain in a daydream, and I'm gonna make them both come true.
On the pinnacle.
It's a high mountain.
Yeah. You never miss it.
Well, that was fun.
Well, you have a bon voyage, my love, and a very successful engagement out there.
Thank you so much, Arthur.
One day our paths shall meet again.
I've had such a lovely time doing the show.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
1963. This is the year that Major Cooper orbited the Earth 22 times in the longest flight and the last, too, of the Project Mercury. Boy, he got so he was saying, well, here we go, round again.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, Lordy, I'd love to do that just one time. I would love to see this globe from out there. It must be something. And there were some people in Maracaibo in Venezuela who had quintuplets born to them. The Prietos. 7th of September it was. September the 7th. Quintuplets. I wonder if they... Gee, they must be 9 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, gee, this was the year that Jack Kennedy was shot. 1963. 35th President of the United States. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but it was already. 9 years, my heavens. Hmm. Boy, we had too much of that kind of business late. I have a telegram from Greensboro, North Carolina, from an old friend, Dave Mora. Dave Mora used to write some of the funniest things that the old Saturday Evening Post ever published. And he is he's associated with Guilford College in Greensboro, North Carolina. A college which, among other many fine things, holds an annual public service seminar. April the 14th, Friday, which is day after tomorrow, they will begin a series of 3 annual seminars on the environment. There will be scientists and technologists on the morning and afternoon programs who can speak to those academicians in attendance. But the public is also invited. And they invited me, but I won't be able to make it because I will be out in California with the Air Force, a commitment I've had long standing. But let's see, who are going to be there? Bill Ruckelshaus or his chief deputy, Rod Markley, and Dr. Carpenter, Library of Congress environmental research chief, William Blum Jr., Washington lawyer, who was Bill Henry's son-in-law, Dr. Eric Ward, chairman of the Federal Council for Science and Technology, Judge Russell Train, who is the chairman of the President's Committee. And that's going to be quite a session. Beginning Friday, it'll be one of a series of 3 annual seminars on the environment. Those who attend will find their time well spent. Wish I could be with them.
What you going to be doing with the Air Force?
They have another symposium, another in a series of symposia, which I have been attending, and I don't want to miss this one.
Hmm.
I've been invited to do the keynote speech at this one, which I will be happy to do.
That means you're the opening act, huh?
The opening act, yes, sir.
What's happening with the development of the vertical takeoff airplanes? Are they coming along? Will that be a reality in our lifetime?
Well, we have them now, yes, sure. We have helicopters and we have aircraft that can be taken off vertically and then rotate the power and...
Yeah, that's the kind I mean. I don't mean helicopters.
I have seen one of these in operation at the Bell factory in Buffalo, New York, a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
How far they've gotten with it, I don't know. I haven't seen one in a couple of years, but they've been working on them for some time.
Because that really would go in a great direction for putting new airports. You won't need miles and miles of land.
We don't need any more airports either. We got all the airports we need.
Okay. I'm not in the land development business, so I won't even argue that point. But, I mean, you can even cut them in half then, couldn't you? The land that's needed.
Yeah.
If you don't need all that space for taking off and for landing.
Well, it would be difficult to get a great big aircraft that could do that. You couldn't do that. Not practical.
Not yet.
It's fine for little things, mm-hmm. Yes, but to lift all that dead weight off the ground would take one terrific amount of power, man. Just like the
rocket.
Like the rockets do, the NASA rockets, yeah. We've been fooling around with some music. Let's try something with the banjo in the band, or the banjo alone. I don't care. Thank you. Fun. Always reminds me of the McGuire sisters. They had a big record on that one time.
Muskrat Ramble?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing today? What year? 63. It would be April 12th today, right?
Mm-hmm.
April 12th, Schick time. The new Schick Fleximatic. Have you tried this razor? Have you seen it? Now, if you try it once, you own one. I tell you, if you possibly buy it, you'll get it. It is the best. It's so ideal for blade men because the new kind of shaving head, instead of a hard head like ordinary electrics have, the head is soft. It's the new soft in the head, Schick Fleximatic. No good in a musician, but fine for a razor.
Well, you don't want them too bright either, you know.
Uh-oh.
They gotta follow the tempo.
It's a thin electroform shaving head that flexes. You can press down on the head and it's soft. The soft head has these advantages. You don't have to get used to it. Your skin and your beard don't have to get conditioned to it. It conforms to your face, fits all the contours and all the cracks and crevices, corners. Gets in there and closer and shaves better and closer. And it won't irritate you. It won't rub or burn you. Not even under your neck. Flexible screen is very thin. The blades are literally closer as they shave. It's another reason the Fleximatic shaver shaves closer. Schick Fleximatic. You still using yours, Dick?
Sure. How you like me?
Pretty bad.
Mm.
I still use mine all the time. I love it, really.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. Usually, I wouldn't stay with an electric razor more than 5 minutes, but boy, this one has worked ever since way last fall, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And they're offering a free 14-day home trial, fellas. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. You can't ask a better deal than that. Schick Fleximatic. Richard, a song from you, please, sir.
Okay, this is the year, I think, that it's the very first time that your dynamite fingers and my golden voice combined with your banjo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And unleashed upon an unsuspecting public the following tune.
To the Mississippi, to San Francisco Bay. They're talking about this famous place down Greenwich Village way. They hootin' and all the time, while folk from everywhere come Sunday morning, rain or shine, wide right in Washington Square. So I got my banjo out just to sit a-catching dust. Painted right across the casing, Greenwich Villager bus. My folks were sad to see me go, but I got no meaning there. So I said goodbye to Kansas Moe, hello Washington Square. To mention a car. Each time he hit those bluegrass chords, sure smelled mountain air. I said, don't waste it on the wind. Why don't you come on Washington Square? We cannonball into New York on good old US 1. And up ahead, we saw the arch gleaming bright in the sun. As far as only I could see, 10,000 folks were there. Washington Square. Right here, Washington Square.
That was the first year we did that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What was good about the good old days? Just taking the trolley downtown for an afternoon of shopping with Mama. And then shopping at the ice cream parlor for that once-a-week treat. Pretty big event, wasn't it, huh? Might not satisfy today's youngsters, but then lots of things have changed since those days. But you know something? Hershey's goodness hasn't. Hershey's baking chocolate and Hershey's cocoa, just as good today as they were when your Ma baked with them. That baking chocolate is rich and dark and delicious, as it always has been. And the cocoa is real, honest-to-goodness cocoa. And women today are doing just what their mothers did, baking with the best chocolate cakes and pies and cookies and other delicious desserts and candy and frostings, all with Hershey products. Hershey's has a goodness that just never goes out of style. So get some Hershey's baking chocolate and Hershey's cocoa, and don't forget that Hershey recipe book that's available for $1.50. It's worth 10 times that, really. 96 pages of color illustrations and 123 recipes like demon cake, chocolate chip cookies, chocolate peanut butter fudge, and 93 others. $1.50, Hershey Food Corporation, Hershey, PA, 17033. I say again, $1.50, your name and address, Hershey Food Corporation, Hershey, PA, 17033. Okay?
I wonder, really, where have all the old trolley cars gone? Did they destroy them, get rid of them for scrap, or did they sell them to some other country?
I don't know. I wish to heaven we still had them, I'll tell you that. Better than these daggone buses all over the place, so you don't know where they're going to be next.
They were cleaner, too.
Yeah?
Noisier.
The electric... There was a time when we had a thing called the trackless trolley. Do you remember that? The first time there was an electric bus. It used the trolley wire overhead, but it could go up to the curb and pick you up and then come back.
So it wasn't on a track then?
No, it was on tires. And that was pretty good because that was electric power, which, of course, burns a lot of fuel full of sulfur and pollutes the air even more than an automobile. So the only way you can win is to get on old Shank's mare or a bicycle. And even then you sweat and stink up the place. I have a good friend on the Los Angeles Times named Art Seidenbaum, who writes a fascinating column. And Joan Waugh of Malibu cut it out the other day and sent it to me because she figured I'd love this one, knowing my sense of humor. A man in Sunland, said Art, has discovered the world's friendliest mail fraud. He uses free business reply envelopes from sales firms to send back the personal messages to people he doesn't know. It's his way of spiting junk mail and corporate giantism while cheering up lowly clerks who work for the same junk mailing corporate giants. He sends anonymous Valentines on a year-round basis, depending on how many sales pitches he receives. And he wrote to Art the other day and said, "Today I hit the jackpot, 7 free return cards in one mail. I'll put a have a nice day type message on all of them and mail them back." Mm. The junk fighter varies his nice day wishes with such refinements as, whoever reads this, I believe you should be getting a higher salary. Or, it must be monotonous reading all these cards, so here's one that says, I love you. He doesn't identify himself because he doesn't want the Giants chasing him, but he's convinced that mail clerks all over the country find a little joy through his efforts.
Cute idea.
Imagine, he says, being able to do this two or three times a day and you don't have to use a stamp. You can write about my idea if you want to, but please don't use my name. The straits will have me locked up. And then Art Seidenbaum says, I doubt it, but I honor his postal paranoia. The same man has brightened my own mail bin in the past by writing scraps of humor or philosophy on makeshift pieces of stationery. He always signs his own name, but never wants to be credited because he's sure his neighbors would call him a radical. It is radical, of course, to jam the junk mails and thereby wrench one system. I remember actor William Wyndham had a slightly less humanistic plan for monkeying up magazine subscription makers several years ago. Wyndham would take one publication's fancy come-on coupon and mail it back in the postage will be paid by envelope of another sender.
Hmm.
He'd mix up envelopes and insides, hoping to confuse computers and eventually discourage companies from using the mails as a door-to-door sales device. I even know a man, he says, who orders magazines in the name and address of friends, always checking the Bill Me Later box. That way, he figures, his friends get a few free issues of Education before they have to deny ordering the publication in the first place. That tactic may put honest people in trouble, but the fiend who forges names insists he's only trying to be nonviolent revolutionary. I think the Sunland Phantom's approach is more humane, since there is always a message in his madness. And if those messages about paying more money to mail clerks carry upstairs to the bosses, maybe the business reply card business will seem less attractive to postal hucksters. The Phantom also convinces me that all kinds of people are putting passion to paper again after several years of trying to communicate by telephone or being communicated at by television. Literacy strikes back, even in peculiar disguise.
Mm.
That would be a great thing, huh? Take the insides out of one mail order firm and put it in the envelope of another. Now you know the computers are going to be fouled up.
Unless they're all owned by one giant publisher.
Maybe they are at that, I don't know.
Then you'll end up with some funny kind of magazines. Like Beef News or things like that.
Hey, don't make fun of that one. News Beef. News Beef. That's the way we got to go, man. These are not new breeds. They're old, older than the hills. A mature bull weighs from 2,000 to 2,800 pounds at maturity, and I know one that's 3,300. That's the way we've got to go, because it takes seven times as much land to raise protein on the hoof as it does in the grain field. And, of course, one of these days, they're going to say, hey, wait a minute. Whoa, we can't afford this. We're going to need that land. And so he who raises the biggest cattle will have the last go at it,
mm-hmm.
I would think. The long day wanes, the slow moon climbs, and the deep moans round with many voices. Come, my friends, 'tis not too late to seek a newer world. Push off, and sitting well in order, smite the sounding furrows. For my purpose holds to sail beyond the sunset in the baths of all the western stars until I die. It may be that the gulfs will wash us down. It may be that we shall touch the happy isles and see the great Achilles whom we knew. Though much is taken, much abides. And though we are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, but not to yield. Adieu. Adieu, kind Franche. Adieu. I can no longer stay with you.
Follow the campaign trail with CBS News on the hour, right here on the CBS Radio Network.